It is a place in downtown Fresno where Christ leads, where people care, and where lives are changed. That place, the Evangel Home of Fresno, ministering to women and children in crisis since 1955. And this is the radio voice of the Evangel Home. Welcome to Heartline. Your host here on Heartline is Jim Tuck, this guy right here.
Thanks, Ken. We appreciate you, and never get tired of saying so. Ken Adams does the production of our Heartline radio program here from Evangel Home in Fresno. And Jerry, we are in your office, Jerry Brenneman, the executive director of all things Evangel Home. And we have a returning guest, but it's been a while. And I can't wait to catch up and find out what God has done in Melinda's life.
Thank you, Jim. Same here, because as we sat down today and I said, hey, when was the last time you did the show? She said, 10 months ago. That means Melinda did her first show when she was in the crisis home, then went through almost the entire Crossroads program because she's going to graduate in several weeks. Did that entire time without ever being on the radio. That's almost impossible, Melinda. You must have been ducking under chairs every time. And you know, Jim, it's interesting, too, because I always pray about who I'm going to ask on the radio. Mm-hmm. Usually our procedure is on Tuesday morning, I say a quick prayer, and then I call Janelle here in the crisis home and say, can you please ask so-and-so if she'll be on the radio? When I do that, no one has ever told me no. Mm-hmm. When I don't pray about it, that's usually if I get a no, or I just don't come up with someone, or I come up with someone that would not be particularly appropriate on the radio. So for 10 months, in all of those prayer times about who should be on the radio, I don't think Melinda's name ever came up, actually, Melinda. And we shared a little bit of that before we went on the air, and she said it's because she was an emotional wreck the first time she was on the show. Yeah. So it might have been so uncomfortable for her then that it was better to wait until now. She graduates in a few weeks. She is not an emotional wreck now. And you know what, Jim? If she is, she can talk about it, and she can deal with it, and she can say, here I go again, or I'm so glad this isn't how I am all the time now. Yeah, she's come a long way. This is a young woman with two beautiful boys, and she's got a great deal of wisdom, and I see a real solidness taking hold in Melinda that was not there 10 months ago. Mm. 10 months ago, she was a wisp. She would have been the one floating around that we were trying to catch her. And now there's just a real solid. I don't think we have to run after her anymore and catch her.
Hmm. Well, good. I love your big smile and and laugh and congenial presentation since we got started. We're getting reacquainted a few minutes ago.
Miss Congeniality.
Yes. But let's back up. We want to tell the story of what God's done in your world as a result of Evangel Home. So what was going on? Why did you come to Evangel Home? You said an emotional mess, but what contributed to that?
A lot did. Drug use, alcohol use. I was in an abusive relationship. I was homeless. I was bouncing from home to home. And my sister actually found Evangel Home on Google and said, you know, call this place. I don't know why, but just call this place. And I did, and that's how I got here.
Had at that point, when you decided to come here, had you hit bottom and decided, this isn't working, I have to change?
At that point, I'm not sure I did. I think it was once I got here and I did a few chapels that I was like, I needed to be here because I hit my bottom.
Yeah. So you really experienced the big four. Mm-hmm. I mean, drugs, alcohol, abuse, and homelessness.
Yes.
So,
how old are you?
I am 25.
Okay. Yeah. And when did this start? How did the substance abuse, let's go there.
The substance abuse started about 5 years ago when my dad passed away. I just turned to alcohol because I felt like that would numb me and I wouldn't have to think about the fact that I found my dad dead.
You found him dead?
Yes.
And you were close?
I was very close with my dad.
Mm-hmm. And that would be a shock.
Yeah.
That would be traumatic for anyone. But certainly for a child, which you were at that point. Mm-hmm. So what's been... the top two or three really significant things in this last 9 months journey through the Crossroads program?
My top one would be the fact that I've become the mother I've always wanted to be. My boys, I can show them love. I can show them the compassion. I nurture them. I'm there for them. And that's just like the one thing that stands out in my mind, because my oldest son will tell me, I've got my mommy back. And that just like melts my heart every time, you know, and I give him a big old hug. And then the fact that I'd have to say my walk with God has gotten just amazing. I don't know how else to say it. It's just amazing how I can just wake up in the morning and go, thank you, God, for another day to do things the way you want me to do. Thank you for the conviction that you're going to show me, you know. And I can just sit there and have this random conversation with them throughout the day, you know. And number three would have to be just my growth in myself, learning who I am again, because I didn't know who I was when I got here. And now I know who I am.
How are the emotions?
They're there. I'm not gonna lie, they're there.
What I want to say too, though, is wherever the emotions are, I was just so impressed right now with Melinda's brain power to go from that, talking about finding her father, and I know that had to be more than a little feeling. That was a powerful brain and heart image. And then 30 seconds later to be able to reel off three things that she has grown. That's amazing that she can do that. That shows me a whole lot of stuff, Melinda. Like, one is she's not willing to stay in the darkness.
No, I'm
not. Not willing to dwell on that. As painful as it is, it's time to move on. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the, I don't know if that would be the fourth reason, but I see that in her. It is time to move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one succeeds here without realizing this is as low as I'm willing to go.
Yeah.
I have to change now.
Yeah.
So at some point while you were in the crisis home, that became your mindset and you applied for Crossroads. Was there a class or two that were most helpful in the process?
The most helpful one was anger management, honestly, because I had so much built-up anger because I was abused as a child throughout my whole childhood. And so I had all this built-up anger and I was just lashing out at everybody. And now I know how to just take, you know, two steps back and go, nope, that's who I was. That's not who I am anymore.
Do you have trust issues?
I did. Not so much anymore. So I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, I would think that given that background, it'd be hard for you to trust people.
Yeah.
Since
I think you've made a little progress here by
by
just having a few relationships that went deep. Some with the gals in Crossroads. That's, you know, they can't be best friends with everybody. But if you can get one or two best friends while you're here, that's awesome, because most of our women don't have any best friends. Oftentimes, Melinda, I don't know if we asked you this question, but when we ask women in the interview for Crossroads, one of the questions I often ask is, who's your best? Tell me something about your best friend. And do you know what, Jim? Many times their best friends are women they have met in here in the crisis home. So they wouldn't have known them 4 weeks at the most. Or they were somebody they were best friends with years ago that they've had no more contact with. So a best friend is a rarity with our women, a true best friend. And if they can begin that process again, that's a huge, huge step in being healthy.
Yeah, their circle of relationships prior to get here were not healthy.
No,
that's a given.
I had one. My best friend. She's my best friend to this day, and we've been best friends for 13 years.
Did she stick by you in your addictions?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. She would try her hardest to push me out of it. I'm just like...
So she's a healthy best friend on top of it.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's a real gift.
Yeah.
That is a gift and an extreme rarity. Yes. You're applying for Community Connection.
Yes.
Jerry, you wanted to talk about that a little bit, the process, and maybe a couple of questions. Melinda.
Okay. Yes. Community Connection is our graduate program. So after a gal has graduated from Crossroads, which is 9 months, or the Garden, which is 9 months, they can apply for Community Connection. And the goal of Community Connection is to, again, keep them here, keep them tied closely, but they have a much longer leash. Mm-hmm. It's much more independent now for her. If she's accepted, and I'm quite sure she will be. I can't really announce that on the radio because I haven't read your papers yet, but I can't see that Melinda wouldn't be accepted. But in order to be accepted, she had to answer some questions, continue to say what her goals are. And the main thrust of Community Connection is to be working or in school full-time or both. Now, we realize also it's harder and harder to get jobs, so we have to kind of tweak the program as we go. And if someone is going to school to get a better job, then let's do it. That is one of the things, Jim, that people, listeners, donors, friends can donate to. We have a scholarship fund, and it's strictly for women who are going to school, that they might need books. Or I remember one time someone was going to cosmetology school, and we bought her scissors. Those things are expensive. And then sometimes in that fund we use it for staff, but it's all education, and it's been a great help to us for those folks that support that way. So, Melinda, you are applying for Community Connection. You're not ready to just close the door, walk out, and go get your own place.
No.
What's the advantage of Community Connection for you?
For me, the advantage is to just be able to have that time to look for a job, to kind of be still, because if I were to go out and get my own apartment, I'm not going to be able to afford it. You know, where here, I can have that opportunity to look and not feel so much pressure. So,
And women here do pay a portion of whatever income they have as a housing fee, but it is not nearly the kind of pressure that rent would be. It is no, we don't call it rent. It isn't really rent, because you can live here even if you don't have money, but then you work somewhere. So you don't, no one lives here for free, but we do have to have different ways that people can pay. But that in itself is a huge burden lifted. Can you imagine having 2 years where you don't have the financial burdens? I know we all want that. And we can all say, well, I wish someone would come along and pay my bills. We don't pay their bills for them. They still have those bills. But they don't have all the pressure of rent and all those things that... Plus, we're really trying to work with them on budgets. And so many of our gals are like the rest of us. We're very impulsive. And when you don't, I know in my own life, Jim, when I feel really good about things, I don't have that desire to go spend money. When I'm struggling with something, no matter what it is, then suddenly I need to buy things. And I think no matter where we are in life, no matter how healthy we are or where we are financially, there's always some little thing like that that is not good for us. And so Melinda has a time out again from those financial pressures.
I would think, too, that continuing lots of healthy relationships in that environment and a certain level of continued accountability would be an excellent and dynamic transitional advantage.
Yeah, I agree, because having the ladies here, just having being able to continue classes, which is what I want to do, because I still have my seekers class to finish and my codependency class.
Okay.
And so being able to do that, and still having those ladies to help me.
Right. We're out of time.
Oh.
Melinda, thank you. It's a delight to see you and hear your laugh. And Jerry, thank you as always. Ken, it's your turn. We finished our conversation. You make it into a radio program. And my listening friend, thank you for joining us today on this edition of Heartline from Evangelhome of Fresno.
The Evangelhome of Fresno reached him by phone in the 559 area code 264-4714. Round the clock from anywhere on the face of the earth with an internet connection, find the Evangel Home at evangelhome.org. And join us again next time, same station, for the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno, Heartline.